Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I am so happy this morning to have good friend David Murray with us. Most of you know David. We are contemporaries in the things of God. We grew up together through Bible school. We taught at Bible school together. And as young men, we'd go out preaching the word of God. So David, so good to have you with us.
Be here.
Thank you so much. And Pentecost Sunday, what a great day to be together.
Amen. Special day.
Special day. Well, listen, I want to set up this conversation because that's what this is going to be. It's going to be a conversation around the person of the Holy Spirit. But I want to read just three scriptures, if I may, just to set this up. The first one is found in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, and we read these words. I am going, this is Jesus, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in this city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts 2 verses 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Hey, I have been so blessed that as a young man, I grew up in a church that was very open to the expression of the person of the Holy Spirit. You would see ordinary people, the Spirit of God working in and through them that would be used in the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to say this as clearly as I can. It wasn't something spooky. It wasn't something mystical. In fact, as a child, as a young man, it was something that was just so clear, so real, so powerful. It was a great environment that we grew up in, that I grew up in. And that's why I think it's so important that as a Pentecostal church, listen, the Pentecostal Commission can only be carried out by the Pentecostal church operating in Pentecostal power. Amen. So we're going to have this great conversation around the person of the Holy Spirit. So once again, David, thank you for being with us. I know you love the person of the Holy Spirit, a subject that you've taught in when we were at Bible school, if I remember correctly. That's you right. would actually teach mm-hmm. on him.
Yeah, pneumatology, yes. Did that for many, many years. Precious subject, wonderful, misunderstood by many people in the church, but the scripture's quite clear, and you look into it, you'll find out who he is.
That's wonderful. And I think so important, you know, the topic of the Holy Spirit is not something that we just roll out on Pentecost Sunday. I think we can't miss the opportunity, but I was just thinking of the many conversations that we've had together, you know, off a platform, not in a public setting, but just about the reality of whom he is. Yes. I wonder, could we just start on this, you know, that scripture where Jesus said he's the promise of the Father?
Yes.
Because often people think the Holy Spirit, they immediately go to New Testament, our Acts 2 scripture, where we will go. But the fact that, you know, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was there. And of course, I guess we've got to address the fact that, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yes. Can you help us understand that a little bit, please?
Yes, it's one of these things that's hard to understand in our natural minds. But the Bible teaches us that God is one. But we understand from the very beginning, even in creation, that God created and that the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the waters. So the Spirit of God is mentioned right in Genesis 1. And we know that the Bible says that all things were made by Jesus. God made them. So God created through the Son and by the Spirit. So they're all working together. And for to be a Godhead, is which we say the triune God is a Godhead, they all have to be equal. So the Holy Spirit, if the Father is a person, Jesus is a person, the Holy Spirit has to be a person. And he's the one that was there in creation at the very beginning. And he's the promise of the Father that the Father was going to bring and fill us with. And what a wonderful experience that is.
Wonderful experience. And all through the Old Testament, we see the Spirit of God working in cooperation and coexisting, as you said, with the Father and with the Son. Because I've discovered, you know, talking to many Christians, you know, they are aware of the Spirit of God. Of course, it's him that convicts us and leads us into salvation. But we tend to not think of the Holy Spirit working in the Old Testament, you know, and the New. And can you give us some examples? You already did, of course.
Yes, and I mean, right through all the prophets, priests and kings were all to be anointed. And that anointing oil that came upon them is what we would class as a type of the Holy Spirit. It represented the presence of God. Like King David, when Saul was troubled, David before he became king, he would play on the instrument. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And that was the only thing that brought peace to Saul. The anointing is the presence of the Lord. And David was anointed of the Lord. And the prophets were all anointed and prophesied. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me and I prophesied. And all right through every book we can see the hand of God moving. And he is called the finger of God in some scriptures.
Yeah.
You know, God does it through the Spirit. In fact, his Spirit is upon the earth. The Father is in heaven. Jesus is now in heaven, but it's the Spirit that's on the earth. And it's the Spirit that's in us as we're born again of the Holy Spirit. So it's Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, but we have the Spirit of God within us. That's who he is.
Great. And I think it's important that we address the fact that he is a person, not an it. Because once again, I've been just so aware, you know, that some Christians, you know, speak about, you know, oh, I'm not sure about it or that.
Yes.
But the Bible's very clear that he is a person with a personality.
Yeah, Jesus made it clear. He says, I will send the promise of the Father. He, a masculine pronoun. He made it quite clear. And it was he. When he has come, he shall teach you. You know, some religions would believe that the Spirit of God is like electricity. Well, it can't speak electricity. It can kill you, but it can't. It's not a person. He shall teach you. It's masculine pronoun, and he's got intelligence. He can be vexed or grieved, the Bible says. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, which means don't put out the Spirit's fire. A very real person. He shall teach you all things. He will reveal things to you. He will reveal more of Christ to us. He's the one that shows us more of Jesus. So he's our teacher. He's our counselor. He's our helper. We find the word is paraclete, which can be translated helper. Some translations say comforter, which he is. Some say, you know, he's a helper and a counselor. But he's all these things and more.
I was just thinking, David, as you know, we've just done a preaching series on friendology,
the
study of friends, the importance of friendship. And I mentioned this just in the introduction to the service that, hey, if you really want a true friend, you need to cultivate that relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he is a counselor. The Bible says he'll guide you into all truth. He's referred to as the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding. Yeah. The Bible refers in the New Testament, you know, the children of God, we should be led by the Spirit.
Yes.
And as much as we cultivate friendship, naturally, I think spiritually it's most important that we cultivate this relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you mentioned there that, you know, I think, is it the book of Ephesians that says we don't vex or grieve the Holy Spirit, if I remember correctly. What does that mean? Grieve the Holy Spirit. Can you help us just a little bit on that, please?
I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but have you ever been in a conversation and then you say something, you think, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
And inside you feel like a check in here, you go, oh. Or even if you're preaching and you go down a line, you go, oh, no, I shouldn't be saying that. This is not the way. It's that grieving the Holy Spirit, for as far as us personally being aware of it, something's like a check in your heart saying, no. And I've seen in services over the years, maybe you sense God is moving upon the meeting, things are happening, and then somebody will burst into song or say something, and you just, it just doesn't feel, and the atmosphere changes, And that can often be the Spirit of God being grieved in a sense of, he's a gentleman, he's moving, he's touching hearts, and he's Lord. And if I come in and try and take over or do something and God's Spirit is moving, it can grieve the Holy Spirit. So that's the way. Or if you say something, you can grieve the Holy Spirit in other ways by saying something's not of God when it is of God. When the Bible says, like tongues, if you say it's of the devil when it's not, that can grieve the Holy Spirit. But the term grieve can also mean put out the Spirit's fire. And I think that's in our own life, the fire, the fervency, the moving of God in our heart. If, for example, we grieve the Holy Spirit if we don't forgive a brother, if we don't show love, that grieves. And that withholds the blessing of the Lord flowing through our lives. God still blesses us, but it doesn't take us to that place of increase. The same way that Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven.
Yeah.
In the same way with the Holy Spirit. And I remember your dad telling us of a time when they traveled as a family, that the Spirit of God was moving upon the family and the platform, and they were aware of it. But the meeting, there was no breakthrough at all. And they just felt the love of Christ and began to hug one another, and something broke in the meeting. And the reason there was no breakthrough in that meeting before was because there was people holding a grudge. One side of the church held a grudge against another side. And the Spirit of God came and brought conviction, and then they embraced one another and received forgiveness. Then the Spirit of God moved. And often we want to see God bring revival, move in our hearts, our lives. But if we don't put the little things right, we don't see, Jesus says, take up your cross.
Yeah.
What are you doing a cross? You die in it. And who wants to? The flesh doesn't, but that's what we're told to do. When we lay down our lives and say, Lord, have your way, that opens the gateway for the moving of the Spirit of God in a service of, we just come and just allow him to have his way, that God can come in like that mighty rushing wind and change our hearts and lives, because we desperately need him. We can't live this Christian walk without him.
And the fact that we can grieve the Holy Spirit once again helps us to understand he is not an it. We can't grieve this chair.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, I can kick this chair. I can say this chair is ugly. I can say whatever I want. It's not going to make one bit of difference to this chair. But the Holy Spirit, we can grieve, as you've said, in so many different ways. And I think that's important, as we mature in the things of God, our desire is to please God. If our desire is to please God, then it's important that we do allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into this area. Like you say, if we have unforgiveness, if there are areas of our life that are compromised or not pleasing to God, it's the Spirit of God that convicts us of these things.
I also find as well, I remember years ago, there was a man in a church, and we were talking about being filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, and I said to him, are you seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He said, yeah. I said, how long? 10 years, he says. I said, well, he says, you can be baptized now. God can fill you with his Spirit. And he says, you want us to pray? I said, do you believe you'll be filled? He went, no. I said, well, there's no point in us praying. And often people come to church and they don't receive because, one, they don't ask and they don't believe. You've got to come. If you believe, you've first got to believe that God is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We lay the foundation out right. In the scripture it says they were all of one mind and unity.
Uh-huh.
See, these are the things. Get the foundation right, and then it opens the way for the Spirit of God to move. And often we're saying, oh God, come and do this, come and do that. He says, well, you get that right first. You get that right first.
Love it.
And it's not in condemnation. It's not God, I'm unfair. Even grieving the Holy Spirit, we can all do that. It's just say, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. He knows our frame, that were dust. That was like Elijah. He knows our frame. He knows Elijah was a man of light passions, yet he moved incredibly in the power of the Spirit. The fire of God fell. So it's not a matter of walking in fear and condemnation, but trusting God at his word. He wants to move powerfully. We just got to make sure we make, like for an airplane to take off, the runway's got to be clear.
Uh-huh.
And if God's going to come in and move, he's here, but if he's going to come in power, we just got to make sure everything's clear and the light's on.
Okay, let's go there then. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Let's speak about the power. We've looked at the promise, that he's a person with a personality. Let's look at this power, because that's what Jesus said. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts 2, 120 are in the upper room.
And he was seen of over 500.
Yes.
why was there only 120? That's a question that we don't really know the answer to.
Fearful and afraid, you know, and yet there were 120 that were obedient to the voice of God. And that is so intriguing, you saying that, you know, he's seen of above 500 the resurrected Christ.
Yes.
So they've seen the resurrected Christ, and yet they don't respond to that. Hey, wait in Jerusalem.
Yeah, and I don't want to be one of those 500. I want to be one of the 120. I
love that, David.
That's our desire, and everyone's desire today, that they be one of the 120, not one that heard and, oh, I'm too busy, or I don't know if I want that. The master calls, he says, tarry in Jerusalem. And the interesting thing there's a lot of significance with the day of Pentecost, with the dedication of Solomon's temple. In Solomon's temple, there was 120 priests, all sanctified, dedicated, and waiting in order. They were of one mind, and that's when Solomon's temple was dedicated, the glory, what they call the Shekinah glory, a cloud of glory came in, and it says the priests couldn't stand by reason of the cloud. Incredible. And the pictures for the old and the new, it's no coincidence how God did it, but there was unity, there was separation. There was sanctification to that place where their hearts were just open to the Lord. He says, wait. And they did what they were obedient. There has to be obedience to the Lord.
Let's discuss this then, David. Because in Acts 2, 120, they're in the upper room. The Spirit of God falls upon them. They begin to speak in new tongues. The crowd gather. They think they're drunk.
Yeah.
Peter now gets out and preaches an incredible sermon. We read through the book of Acts, we see that unsure men became sure of themselves because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We also know the scripture tells us that no one can say that Jesus is Lord, but the Holy Spirit works in them and through them. Let's address this. There's what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because I think this is where a lot of people, I don't want to say mix it up, but maybe slightly confused.
Yeah.
Let's address that.
Yes, I mean, John baptized with water, and we know that it went down into the water and come up out of the water, so it was submerged. It wasn't just a sprinkle, and the same word was used for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So it was a submerging, an overflowing, and if you fill something up, it will eventually, if you keep filling, it will overflow. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like. It's, yes, we've received the deposit, the scripture says, as a guarantee. We're born again, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's talking about an immersion. It's talking about an overflowing. It's talking about something wonderful and powerful. And that's the word used there. You shall receive power, dunamis, where we get dynamite from, the word dynamite. It's an explosive power. It's power for ministry. And as you said, changed their lives. Peter, not long before, I mean, what was it? Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover. Jesus was seen of over 40 days. And he was Peter denying, I'll never deny you, Lord. He failed him miserably when the cock crew. Totally. And yet on that day, somebody that failed so much, the Lord and Savior, that he said, you know, I don't want to go. I'll never deny you, Lord. Denied him. Yet on that day, this is a restoration. This is the gospel. Where somebody that had failed, just a short time later, was prepared to stand up in the front of the same people that said, you're one of them, and could have cost him his life, but was there bold to preach. These are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that which was promised in Joel. They're filled with, this is that. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. It gives you the boldness to minister, boldness for ministry, boldness to present Jesus Christ, to be a witness and to witness. That's what the outpouring of the Spirit. Apart from personal development as a Christian and opening up a gateway to spiritual gifts, because they spoke in languages they never learned, and they all heard them, and they all heard them speak in their own languages, and there were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and people from all over the world that were there. And this is a great, wonderful strategy that the Lord had. Why the day of Pentecost? Well, one of the reasons with the day of Pentecost is everyone who was a Jew was going to be there for that feast. What a great time to have an evangelistic crusade, if you like, an outpouring of the Spirit, because it wasn't going to be done in a corner just with 120. There was thousands there that day. It was packed. And that's the day God chose to demonstrate his power upon feeble and weak believers that were in fear often of their lives. yet gave them the boldness and strength to go and declare the goodness of God in that day. It's an incredible story.
You go from Acts 2 to Acts 3, you know, the lame man, Peter and John, silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have, we give you. They're then thrown in jail. Acts 4, they're released, and then they pray, God, give us the boldness to come.
Well, there's the wonderful thing about Acts 4, is some people say, well, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit 40 years ago, and that was it. And you say, what was it like? Oh, it was wonderful. I spoke in tongues. I felt the presence of God. Oh, that was a wonderful experience. And that was the last time that they ever had any kind of experience of the presence of God in such a way. That isn't what God desires. And even then, just a short time after, being baptized with tongues of fire, literally you could see on their heads, signs and wonders. And that day, 3,000 people came to Christ. Yet, short time after, they all came, because after Peter and John got beaten, they were all saying, Lord, Lord, help us, deliver us, give us strength, give us power to preach, give us boldness to declare your goodness. It says, and the whole place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
There you go.
So there's one baptism, but there's many fillings.
Yeah.
And if the early disciples and apostles needed to be filled with the Spirit again, then how can we say that we don't? If they needed the power of the Holy Spirit every day of their life, then I say, Lord, I need the same. Come and fill this vessel and fill us with a power that shakes us to the point of we're changed and go out and demonstrate your goodness.
And I'll tell you what, David, I was just thinking the other day, I was reading again the fact, you know, the 120, and the Bible's very clear, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in that room. And I was just thinking, wow, because, you know, she'd seen her son on the cross. Jesus has spoke, you know, to, they believe it was John, the disciple, you know, here's your mother, here's your son, you know, taking care of her. And yet here she is, here's Mary, on that day of Pentecost, in that room, baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Wonderful.
In other words, her work was not over. God still had something, and maybe someone is listening today thinking, oh, I'm too old for that, or it's not necessary. But Mary helps us understand, and something else, you know, I believe that the Spirit of God moving in our life is for all peoples.
Yes.
I read that earlier from the Scripture. So it's not just a male thing.
No.
It's for all, because the Bible says, you know, on your sons and daughters shall prophesy, you know, dreams, you know, all that sort of thing. Just going, it's so exciting. And what I discover is when you begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, you feel yourself.
The witness.
You know, I'm quite passionate anyway, but I just feel myself getting stirred.
Well, it's that fire, because the Scripture says, while I'm used, the fire burned.
Yeah.
And when you begin to think on these things, There's a fire begins to burn up within you, and sometimes it overflows in praise or worship or whatever.
Yeah.
That Scripture is incredible, isn't it? No difference in male, female, or class distinction.
Yeah.
Slaves, born men, free. Age doesn't matter. Young men, your old men, or dreams, young men, see visions. All these things, God breaks through the same way he did with the woman of Samaria, the well. He broke through every class, every bias, there's nothing in the gospel, it's everyone, it's for the whole body of Christ, continually, that the body of Christ, and if it's the body of Christ and the church of God is going to grow effectively, each member has to do that part. You know, the Bible says that in Ephesians, that doing that which each part of the body gives what it's meant to be doing, and so there's not a lack. Somebody is not having to do the work of something else. And that's why we need the moving of the Spirit today, definitely.
Okay.
And from misunderstanding, people go, oh, I'm scared of that. If you're born again, the Spirit of God dwells in you. There's nothing to fear. Nothing to fear of God. He's a gentleman. And the gifts of God are just a sign to the unbeliever even, that says tongues, is that God is still the same God today as he was yesterday. It's supernatural, same power. It dwells within us that raised Christ from the dead.
So listen, time is gone. We could talk on. I want you just to take a minute. You're speaking to this camera, and the Bible says suddenly.
Yes.
And boy, we've preached
many,
on that.
Many suddenly.
Suddenlies. Come on. Yeah. Tell the folks that they can have a suddenly moment encounter with God.
You know, the Bible talks about redigging wells. And I challenge you today, maybe you've been filled with the Spirit, but it's been a long time ago, or a one-off experience, dig again that well. Clear out anything that might clutter the flow of God in your life. Just lay it on the altar and ask God to fill you again with His Holy Spirit. And the scripture says that if you ask, you shall receive. How much more? One verse says, shall a Heavenly Father give good gifts to those that ask. And another scripture, I think it's Luke, it says, give the Holy Spirit to those that ask. And God wants to fill your life right now with the power of His Holy Spirit. Just receive it. Just ask and believe and be filled again. The Bible says in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. And it means being filled continuously. Every day, like the apostles, fill us again, Lord. Fill us again, Lord. And you'll be amazed as you come to God in that way, that the outpouring of His Holy Spirit, He'll renew things in you. It's like a dry ground getting rain. Things begin to grow. Your life begins to grow spiritually again. And you walk in what the Bible calls the fullness that God has for us. And each one of us need it. Each one of us get dry. D.L. Moody said, I'm filled with the Spirit, but I leak. And we all do. There's times we don't feel very spiritual. But come again into His presence. Call upon the Lord while He's near. And you'll find that He'll come and fill you again, refreshing waters of life. Amen.
Oh, thank you, David. Hey, we've known each other for many, many years, since we were young men. Right. And you've never lost that passion, that enthusiasm, that drive. You still live in that place of expectancy. You know, you still are hunger and you thirst after the things of God. And I commend you for that, that fire you keep burning. And thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you.
It's such a big topic, you know, to discuss. And I love when you've had the opportunity to come and share with us in the church and teach on the person of the Holy Spirit. It's one where we get the highest attendance because people just love that. So let me encourage you. Go for God. May His blessing be upon you in Jesus' name. Hey, I hope you've enjoyed that. Hey, you could tell. We could chat on and on and on. But I really want to encourage you on this Pentecost Sunday. Why don't you begin to ask God, pray to God, desire from God that He would help you, that He would put that hunger within you for the things of the Spirit of God. And there is so much more to learn, to understand, but I promise you, if it's from God, it is a good thing. He is the gift. Jesus says it's better for you, and I believe that. Hey, thanks for listening today. May God bless you.